Thank you, Pastor. It's good to be back with you today. We've enjoyed being here in the past. I think this is our third time to be with you, and we enjoyed each time. Of course, we love your pastor and his family, and we've known Brother Tad and Sandy for a long time, and the kids for about as long as they've been around. So anyway, we're glad to be with you today and always enjoy coming here. Well, I want to get right into the lesson today. I'm trying to figure out where the clock is. Is there a clock for me to see? Okay, I wear one here all the time in case I need it. I'll use this in Sunday school, but Sunday morning and Sunday night, I'll preach till I get done. But I know that there's a deadline in Sunday school, all right? And he mentioned preaching all day today. I hope by the time we get done here, you won't feel like he preached all day. I don't want it to be like that, okay? But Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10 today. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10. And I want to read that to verse 13. We're going to zero in on verse 13. I'll let you know that before we get started. But I want to give the context of it. This is Paul writing a thank you. Well, this part of the letter, not the whole letter, but this part of the letter. He's thanking the church at Philippi for a missions offering that they had sent to him. He had material needs, physical needs, and so forth, and they had sent a gift. And he thanked them for that, but he let them know that God would have taken care one way or the other. Look in verse 10. He said, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me," that's the offering they sent, "hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." They were careful to get the offering together and to send it, and the lacking opportunity was that the man that they sent with the offering to give it to Paul got sick on the way and almost died. And so he was delayed, but he did get there, and he was thanking them that the offering came. He said, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." And then he said those great words in verse 13, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray you'd bless and guide and direct in the teaching of thy word today. I pray, Lord, that it would come forth in a way that's clear and understandable and in ways that you could use to minister to hearts today. Bless our Sunday school time and each service to follow. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In verse 11 of our text, Paul said, "I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." You know, that's a great mark of spiritual maturity. And all of us ought to endeavor, by the grace of God, to get there, to be content. You know, there's a saying that we have at a plaque at our motor home that it goes something like this: gratitude makes what we have enough. And we ought to be thankful. We ought to be a thankful people and content in whatever the state. And then he illustrated that statement in verse 12 by saying, "I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need." He said, "I'm content in those." And then in verse 13, he said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." I remember as a young Christian, I got saved when I was 18 years old. I was a freshman in secular college when I got saved, started reading my Bible. And I remember not just the first time, but a number of times after that, when I read, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me," I was thinking of everything that I could do. You follow what I'm saying? What I could get done, my life would accomplish. And that's a part of the meeting there. And we'll talk about that in our lesson today. But the broader sense is, I can do. What he's saying is, I am able for, or I am up to, all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, I am able to be abased, I'm able to abound. I am able to be full, I'm able to be hungry. I'm up to these things. I'm able to abound or to suffer need. What he's saying there is, I am able, I can do all things. I can have things go my way or not go my way. I can be full, hungry. I can have it good. I can have it bad. I can have it easy, or I can have some hard knocks. You get the idea of I can do? I'm able for or up to all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. In today's lesson, I'd like to talk about three ways that I can do all things through Christ. Three different ways that I can do. First of all, the very obvious one, I can accomplish all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can accomplish those things. You know, I have always been a can-do kind of person. Even before I got saved, I was, you know, if I set my mind to something, I was going to get it done if I possibly could. Regardless of the time or the effort or the cost, if it's something I need to do, if it's something I've set my mind to do, I've been a can-do person. This is terrible grammar, but I think you'll get what I'm saying. I learned when I was a kid that can't never done nothing. Now, I know that's a double negative and all that kind of thing, but you know what that means. Can't never done nothing. If you think you can't, then you probably can't. But if you think you can, put your mind to something, you got a lot better chance of getting it done. And I played some sports in high school, and I remember in the locker room at our high school, big banner was in there. It's through all my high school years. I don't know how long it stayed there, whatever. But it was the saying, quitters never win, winners never quit. And I believe that. I believe that's a good mindset to have. I believe once we accept a challenge, we should attack it. We should work at it. We should figure out a way to do it. I don't think I'm the only one that ever said, yeah, I'll take care of that, I'll do that, and I get started doing something, and I think, I don't really know how to do that. Has anybody ever done that besides me? But I think even if you don't know how to do it, you need to figure out a way to do it. Or find out a way to do it. Find somebody who knows how to do what you said you would do. And get about doing it. Of course, we have YouTube today. Didn't always have that, but you can get on there and you can actually watch somebody else do what you're trying to do a lot of times, you know, in the physical realms, not in all realms of life, but figure out a way to do it. It's kind of like Colossians 3:23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. And we need to have that mindset. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Here's a big if. If it's what we're supposed to do. Has to be what we're supposed to do. You follow what I'm saying? I can't just do anything I decide to do. But if it's what I'm supposed to do, I can do it through Christ. I believe when He gives us something to do, He will also give us the strength and the ability and the resources to get it done. We'll trust Him and work by faith and trust in Christ. We can do all things. When I became pastor of our church many years ago, we started out at, we had an adult Sunday school class, and over the years, our class grew. And it got to where it was a big enough class that I divided it into two classes. I had one of the good men in our church that had gotten saved and learned and grown and so forth. He taught the senior citizens class. We called it the Caleb class because Caleb, you know, I want that mountain, you know, had that zeal for God at that time in his life. And I named my class, which was the rest of the Sunday school, well, I called it the can-do class. I wanted us to have a mindset we can do what God wants us to do. And I think it's right to be that way. I believe that it is right to be a can-do kind of person. As Christians, we are not supposed to be passive. We should not be quitters. We should not be easily deterred from our duties and responsibilities. We certainly shouldn't be lazy. We shouldn't be complacent. We should not be those that lack initiative. On the contrary, we should be diligent. Christians should be diligent about doing what we're supposed to do. We should be energetic. And I found this in my life. We should be energetic in mind and spirit, and as much as we can be in body. And some of you can relate to what I'm saying here. I'm not as energetic physically. I don't have the stamina I used to have and so forth. And so I don't have that part. I still have some of that, but I don't have it to the degree I used to have. But in my mind and in my spirit, I should be energetic. I should have a zeal for doing what God wants me to do and being what God wants me to do. We should be those things. We should be enthusiastic. By the way, the word enthusiasm or enthuse, it's a two-part word. The en means in. That's the meaning. Enthuse is short for theos, which is the name of God. And the idea is that if you are in Christ, or better put, he is in you, he will help you to be enthusiastic. It is a biblical virtue. Enthusiasm is. And I also believe that very little in this world has ever been accomplished that really matters without enthusiasm. Enthusiasm is very important. We ought to be enthusiastic, and we ought to be finishers. Look in your Bible in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13. I'll read chapter 15, verse 58 first. I'm not going to get into that because I'm going to use that in my morning message, so I don't want to get stuck on this. The only verse we're talking about today. But in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, at the end of the great resurrection chapter, where it's talking about the rapture, and we're going to have a new body, and we'll not all sleep, we'll all be changed, and this corruptible must put on incorruption, and mortal shall put on immortality. And what a great chapter that is. And at the end of the chapter, he says, therefore. And when you see therefore in the scriptures, you ought to look and see what it's there for. And you look back and see, in the light of all these promises of God and what he's done in our life and is doing, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Bible tells us as Christians, we ought to be steadfast, unmovable. The word steadfast means fastened in place. And that is in the will of God, in the spiritual condition in which we should live. Steadfast in our beliefs, in our biblical doctrines and so forth. You follow what I'm saying? Our convictions, we should be steadfast in those things. Unmovable means you can't be moved. And the unmovable is not like a bump on a log. A bump on a log is hard to move. Not talking about that kind of thing. In the will of God, being what God wants and doing it, we need to be unmovable, and we can be in Christ, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And when I think of abounding, it comes from the word abundant. When I think of abundant, an abundant cup of coffee is one where the mug is full and the saucer is too. Okay? We ought to abound. We ought to overflow in our zeal for serving God. And then look in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians. It's next page over, or maybe even on the same page, depending on how your Bible's laid out. But in chapter 16 and verse 13, the Bible says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. That sounds like steadfast, doesn't it? Quit you like men, be strong. Now, I could have taught the whole lesson on that one verse, and I'm not doing that today. But watch ye, it sounds like be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walk about seeking whom he may devour. We need to be watchful. The devil is wily, he's tricky, and we need to have our guard up. Stand fast in the faith. We already talked about that. Be strong, that latter part. It takes some strength to live for God. It takes strength to be what we ought to be. And we can have that strength through Christ. But it says in there, quit you like men. I have to be honest. The first time I read that, and the first several times I read that, I thought, that can't mean what it looks like it means. Because I know men are not quitters. Quit you like men. But it does mean something different. Webster's 1828 dictionary, that version of the English language there, has a definition as it was in that time. And he says it means this, to quit like this, it means to clear oneself of incumbent duty by full performance. Incumbent means that duties that are laid upon you. It means to carry through, to do or perform something to the end so that nothing remains. It means to discharge or perform completely. So quit in that respect means the opposite of what a quitter is. It means a finisher. Vine's expository dictionary of New Testament words, Greek New Testament words, the word quit, he defines it, it signifies to make a man. It means to play the man or be like a man. What we would say today is man up. That's all involved in that word, quit you like men. It's the idea of being a finisher. We ought to go after what we're supposed to do, and with God's help, through Christ, finish what God would have us do. And by the way, we're doing something right now that we ought to keep doing, and we won't be finished until we take our last breath. We need to stay at it. Amen? As Christians, we should have a can-do attitude. Know that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. We should not be those who look at what we need to do and say, well, it's too hard. It's too difficult. And by the way, faithfulness in serving God and living for God sometimes is hard. Amen? The Christian life is the very best life. It's the abundant life. But it's got some hard things in it for all of us. And we shouldn't say, oh, it's just too hard or too difficult or not easy. It's not comfortable. You know, if you're going to be what you ought to be as a Christian, you have to get out of your comfort zone. Did you know that growth, and by the way, the Bible tells us, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know that growth by definition involves change? If we're not careful, we get really comfortable in less than what God wants us to be. And we need to be willing to change. We need to be those who move forward in our lives. And sometimes people say, it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. And you know, if it's something that God gives us to do, or it's the will of God that we do in our life, or that's how we ought to be, what we ought to become, it can be difficult, but it is worth it. Wouldn't you agree that anything God says that you ought to do, you ought to consider it to be something worth doing, regardless of the cost? And by the way, in that thought, though, it's not worth it. I think sometimes we need to evaluate our lives, our values, our priorities, the things that we're doing. And sometimes we will figure out the time and energy and money and effort we're putting into some things, it's really not worth it. Because they're really not that important. But if it's what God wants us to do, it's important. And it's worth it. Anybody getting where we're going at here? Okay. So that's my first point, and it's the longest one. So you're going to take a long, long time in Sunday school here today. But there are some others here that are very, very important when you look at. But I can accomplish all things. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I want to look at here in the context of I can do all things through Christ, is I can endure or go through all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Give you a personal illustration and try not to make it too long. But in January of 2013, I had a heart attack, which was followed up by quadruple bypass surgery on my heart. And I had that surgery, and when I woke up from that surgery, I realized that this was not a challenge that I was going to take on and conquer. I was weak and vulnerable and helpless and dependent upon others like I had never been. I had no oomph in me at all. I can't give a biblical definition of oomph, but I think you know what I mean there. Okay. I just didn't have it in me. I mean, I was helpless. I remember I had surgery one day, and the next day they get you up, and that you had to walk, and my walker was a wheelchair that I held to the back of it and pushed the wheelchair, keep from falling down. And I'm not exaggerating. For me to walk from here to that wall and back, I just collapse in bed and go to sleep. I mean, I was so weak. And there was a pretty extensive time of rehabilitation from that surgery and so forth. Thank God he got me through that. But I understood at that point in time, I was thinking when I had surgery about how much pain I would have, because they do saw your chest open. That's not a good thing to happen there. But I was thinking about that, but I had no concept of how weak I would be. I understood in that moment all I could do was trust. Trust the Lord. I trusted the nurses, the doctors. I trusted my wife, who did things for me for quite a while that nobody else had ever had to do for me. She had to do for me. Didn't have to do for me. Things that she had to help me with and just didn't have the strength to do things. And trusted whoever God put my life to help me along the way at that time. But I had to trust others to help me. It wasn't a time where I wanted to say, I'm going to do it myself. Because all I could do is lay there and die. Probably what I could have done by myself. But I had to trust those. Of course, I trust the Lord. So the can do in that respect was, with God's help, I can get through this. I can do this through Christ. Let me give you some things that God used to help me get through this. First of all and foremost, the grace of God. God gives grace. He gives help. By the way, I've used that word grace throughout my ministry. You know, somebody suffers a loss, whether it's the loss of a loved one or a financial loss or some other kind of loser job or those kind of go through a hard time, difficult situations in their life. Pray that God would give them grace. And I always knew in my mind what that meant, but it took me years and I finally figured out a good definition of God giving us grace is God giving us help. When you read that, think about that, the grace of giving, God gives us help to give more than we could without His help. And all, you know, in the enabling grace to live right and to serve well, and we'll get into some of those things here in a minute, that's the grace of God. He gives us grace. Thank God for that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll mention verse 9 here in a moment. Before I do, the Apostle Paul had an infirmity of the flesh. Called it a thorn in the flesh. And it was some kind of physical infirmity or disease. And most people believe that, let's study that, believe that he probably had an eye disease that was very common in that day. And his vision wasn't as good as it had been. And that eye disease in also involved, you know, running stuff out of your eyes and so forth. It was an awful thing to endure. And Paul said, I besought the Lord three times that he would take it from me. And God's answer was, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul's response to that was, oh no. Wasn't that at all, was it? Paul's response was, most gladly then will I glory in mine infirmity. And what he was saying is, if going through this brings more glory to God and magnifies the power of God more than it would if I didn't have this, he said, I'm willing to go through that because I want God to be glorified. You know, I found this to be true in deliverance. You know, we whether it's a physical infirmity or other problems or whatever, sometimes God delivers us out of our trial and it's gone. Sometimes He delivers us in our trial. He just gives us the grace it takes. Keep on keeping on. And not just trudge through life, but we can do that with joy. Knowing that God's on His throne, He does all things well, He makes no mistakes. And whatever we're having to endure in our lives, God is able to give us help to make it through. I know all of us would rather have the answer of, the infirmity's gone, the problem's gone. We'd rather have that answer. But thank God for His grace that gets us through those things as well. God's grace was the greatest thing. But also the prayers and encouragements of friends. When I think about prayers, there were more prayers offered by more people during that time in my life than I will ever know. You know, as a pastor of a church and we have a lot of missionaries that we supported and a lot of friends across the country and literally in other parts of the world and in our church family and in our, you know, people that we know. I know a lot of people prayed for me a lot. And I'm not a touchy-feely kind of guy, but I'm telling you, when you're down like that and people are praying, to me, I could sense it. It's like I could feel that they were praying for me. And it comforted me. It encouraged me. And then the phone calls and the cards that people sent and the emails and the texts and those kind of things people sent and the visits. People came by to see me. People came to see me while I was in the hospital, and which was about a week that people came, and a number of people came to see me, and that was a blessing. And then once we got home, it was over a month before I ever got to go to church or anything. I was down like that, and people would come by and spend some time and visit and be an encouragement. Don't ever underestimate the power of a visit from somebody who really cares. That's an important thing. I'm going to throw this out, and I won't spend much time on it, but there's a couple of men in our church that over the years, you know, somebody be real sick and in the hospital and you're going to have an extended recovery. And I say, you need to go see so-and-so. And I've had a couple of men say, preacher, I just don't like hospitals. And my answer to that is, unless you're a doctor or a nurse, who does like hospitals? I have made literally thousands of hospital calls in my life. I pastored the same church for 43 years. And so I've been in the ministry a long time. And I've made many, many hospital visits. And it's not because I like hospitals. You know, most people, when you're in the hospital, you can't wait to get out. Amen? And I've learned that they don't bother me like they did when I first started. But it's not about whether you like it or not. It's about whether you care or not. And you can be a real encouragement. If they're really sick, spend a little time with them and have prayer and go away. If they want you to stay, if they really want you to stay, they'll let it be known. But if you've ever done much of it, you'll notice when you say, I'm going to let you get some rest, I've had them say, yeah, I need to get some rest. And you need to be careful you don't overdo it, if you know what I'm saying here. I'm watching my clock here. I'm going to get done, okay? I'm certainly not the only one who's gone through difficult times. I just used my illustration there. There have been many others gone through what I went through and other things. There's some probably right now going through some really hard times or difficult times. And there will be others. But I want you to know, you can endure or go through all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Sickness, other physical infirmities, financial distress, sorrow, difficult situations in which you live, death of a loved one, being abandoned or hurt by others, like stabbed in the back. You know what I'm talking about? I'm not talking about really with a knife. I'm talking about figuring somebody threw you under the bus, did you wrong. Lied about you, lied to you, cheated you. Go on down the list. There's hurts in life. We do have those things, and they will come. But His grace is sufficient. It really is. There'll still be some pain, some difficulty, yes. But also the comfort and strength of God and better days ahead. Better days either here. Sometimes things just go on and on. I know that. But in most time, there's better days coming here. And if not here, if you know the Lord, definitely better days coming ahead. Amen. When we go to be with Him. So I can accomplish all things. I can endure all things. And last of all, I can be all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And when I say I can be all things, it's not I can't be anything I want to be. Rather, I can be anything He wants me to be, anything I'm supposed to be. Just to illustrate that, I can't be the bass in a quartet. And to be honest, I can't be the tenor either, nor the lead. I am not quartet material. I'd like to be, but I'm not. And so apparently that's not what I'm supposed to be. Amen? But there are things I am supposed to be and things you're supposed to be. And we can do those through Christ. Let me say quickly some of those things. He gives us power to live right, and that takes a lot of power. Amen? We live in bodies of flesh. We have a sinful nature. But He gives us power to be obedient I can be pure in thought. I can be faithful to God. I can be pleasing to God. I can be diligent about all those things through Christ. And in this being what I'm supposed to be, it involves stop doing things that we should not be doing. He gives us that power. If you're a gossip, He can help you have victory over that. If you're critical in your spirit and critical in your words, He can help you over that. If you use bad language, you can get over that. I've had different men, after they get saved and get serious about serving God, come to me and very concerned, "Pastor, I've got a problem." I said, "What's your problem?" He says, they've said things like this: "My vocabulary is not a good vocabulary. There's words I use all the time every day, and I don't think I can quit." I've had men, "I'm afraid I'm going to say something in some place where I shouldn't say it." You know, I can very confidently say, you know, you'll be surprised how quickly you can have victory over this if it really want to. Because if you really want to please God and you blurt out some bad words, it'll cut you to your heart. It'll hurt you. And the Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. And you know, you blurt out something you shouldn't say, and you know it's wrong and it hurts your heart, you ask God to forgive you. You admit it to God and ask God to forgive you. Ask God to help you to do better. And I've seen that change very quickly in many lives, in my own life. I wasn't as deep into it as a lot of people were at that time in my life when I got saved, but I needed help there too. And God does give that help. He can give you the help. You can stop doing pornography. You can give up tobacco and alcohol and illicit drugs and bitterness and envy and a whole lot of other things. Through Christ, you can have victory in those areas. And by the way, before I go any farther, He gives us power to live right. Nobody lives perfectly right all the time, except Jesus. Amen? The reason I'm saying that, I'm not saying, "Oh, don't worry about it." I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, when you fail, acknowledge it to God. Ask God to forgive you. If your failure involves other people, ask them to forgive you. Get up and go on. The greatest failure is the one who quits because he failed. Successful Christians get up and go again. And thank God we can do that. He gives us power to serve Him well. You know, men, if you're married, He can give you power to be a good husband. A godly husband. He can give you, ladies, power to be a godly wife. He can give you power to be godly parents. Kind of, no perfect parents, but we can be good parents through Christ. We can be good church members. And you ought to want to be the kind of church member you should be. And He can give us power to be a witness and a good testimony. Gives you power to be the right kind of friend. You know, being a good friend to others is a really important thing. We all need friends. I got to finish up here. In our specific ministry and calling, we can be what God calls us to be. I believe God's callings are God's enablings. And that doesn't mean if God calls you to a specific ministry that just like that, you're really good at it. But if He calls you, He'll give you aptitude. And as you're faithful to serve Him and learn and grow, He'll help you to be good at it. And effective for Him because He gives the aptitude. So truly, like the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Listen to this and I'll be done. I can accomplish all things He gives me to accomplish. I do that by faith and by a can-do attitude. I can endure all things through Christ. I can go through all things through Christ. You know, one of the great helps to me after I'd been a Christian for a while, you know, you have this traumatic thing come in your life and you're all worried about it and so forth. I learned that this too shall pass. And I thought, that doesn't sound very spiritual, but then I read in the Bible over and over again, it says, and it came to pass. Things come and they pass, and thank God for that. I can endure all things for Christ, and I can be all things that I'm supposed to be. It's all by the grace of God. It requires commitment to God and to His direction, and a determination to be steadfast, and it requires faith and trust in the Lord. So you, as a child of God, you can do all things through Christ in these three ways. God bless you today.